There are many, many different statements, Divrei Torah, Hashgacha Shluzin, where the speaker likes to point out that we are on such a low level in Galus, and we're so distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, whatever we do, any little bit of a mitzvah or a Dvar Torah or a step in the right direction is considered to be beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem loves every single thing that we do, no matter where it comes from. As long as we find deep within our resources to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so because of our lowly state, Imo Anochi B'tzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in Galus, so therefore it's considered to be a great, great thing before the Ribono Shel Olam. I saw a beautiful mashal this week, brought in the name of Yitzhak Zilberstein, who's one of the renowned halachic decisors in Eretz Yisrael, and he brought a very interesting mashal that I think calls into question and really should challenge our perspective when it comes to how we view ourselves right now, currently sitting in Galus, even though we have many, many positive things. And he gave a very interesting mashal. There was a father who had three sons, and the three sons gave such tremendous kavod and respect to the father. One son was always careful to bring the father a cup of water when he came to the house. Another son would always get him his paper or the gemara, whatever it was he wanted when he came home. And another son always made sure that the temperature was right and he always had something to eat. These three sons were so well trained, so well brought up, they knew exactly what to do, always doing the right thing to give proper kavod to their father. Rahman al-Islam, one day there was a terrible accident. The three boys were in a car accident, and all three ended up in the hospital. And each one, from oldest to youngest, was in worse condition than the next. The oldest son was in a condition where he was able to move his hands and able to move his head and could communicate, but he couldn't stand up. The next son was in a situation where he was unable to move his body, but he was conscious and awake, and he could smile, and he could communicate perhaps by, you know, blinking his eyes, but he couldn't move the rest of his body, his hands certainly not. And the last son was in the worst situation, where he was pretty much out of it, in a coma, nothing moving, no response, and he was in a very, very dire situation. And obviously, the father dropped everything he had, put everything aside at work, put everything aside at home, and he came to spend every waking moment with his children in the hospital. And it would be day in, day out, night after night, sitting there waiting some sort of response, some sort of reaction from his children to see if there was some sort of improvement. And he would go from the younger child who was doing better, or the older child who was doing better, to the other child who was doing not as well, constantly moving from room to room to see how things were going. And one day, the child who was totally out of it in the coma, he opened up his eyes and he smiled. He smiled for the first time. And nothing else was working, but he had this, his eyes open, he was smiling. And the father did a dance. He was so happy that finally there was response from the child. And it was an amazing, amazing day. And the next day, the next child, who could smile and open up his eyes, but was unable to move his limbs, lifted up his arm and squeezed his father's hands for the first time in days. And the father again rejoiced, but noting that the first child was unable to do this, but this child was now able to do something more than he could do before. And the next child, who was able to move his hands and could smile and communicate and talk, he, a few days later, was able to stand up in bed for the first time after many, many, many days. And this was the response, and the nurses were rejoicing, the father was dancing, and each little step, each little thing that the children did along the way gave such nachas ruach and simcha to the father. Says Reb Zilberstein, the nimshal is as follows, that we sit in galus. When we had the Beis HaMikdash, and everything was going well, and we were with our father in heaven, and we could go to the Beis HaMikdash 3 times a year, more than that, and we were on the right track, so certainly, was it sufficient that a person gave a nice Dvar Torah? Was it sufficient that the person did the best of his ability? No. You're in your father's palace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects that we bring him water. And that when we're in a good situation, we bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu the newspaper. And we bring him something to eat. And we make sure the air conditioning is fine. When everything is going well, and we're in the Beis HaMikdash, we demand of ourselves, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us, great, great things. But now, we are in a churban. We're in a situation where we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And we are very, very distant from where we're supposed to be. And therefore, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejoices every single time we do something. But look at the father and his sons. Do you think the father is happy that his children are in that situation in the hospital? Do you think he wouldn't switch that for a second to have them out of there and back at home? And it wouldn't be such a big deal if his son lifted up his hand or gave him a smile? Of course that's what he wants. He wants us to be in a healthy situation, in the right condition. And therefore, says Reb Zilberstein, yes, it's nice for a Kadosh Baruch Hu when we do little things, and we do the best of our ability, and we do something for the first time, it gives him nachas ruach. But let's take a moment to step back and realize, where are we supposed to be? We're not supposed to be in the hospital. We're supposed to be at home with our father. That's where we're supposed to be. And we need to realize, and sometimes take a moment to think, and there's no better day than today, to realize what we are missing, and what is lacking every single day of our lives, that we are not in the time of Gula, and that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Yaakov Galinsky, who's a famed Magid in Eretz Yisrael, so he notes that the Tikkuni Zohar writes that if a person does not do mitzvahs with Avas Hashem Yirah Shemayim, so the mitzvah does not go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he tells the following story that he heard from his father, who learned in Radin, and observed the following story. One of his friends was aware of this comment of the Zohar, and he went to the Chafetz Chaim and said, Rebbe, what's the point of us doing any mitzvah? So if the Zohar says that everything we do is meaningless, unless it has proper Yiras Hashem, and Avas Hashem, and Yiras Shemayim, so what's the point of the mitzvah? What are we accomplishing in the first place? We might as well just roll over and forget it, because all of our mitzvahs aren't adding up to anything. So the Chafetz Chaim told the young man a true story. He said, before World War I, I was meeting with one of the bakers in the community, and we were talking, how's business going, and he was asking me how I'm doing, and I said, what's going on, how's business? There's a number of bakeries in Radin, or in the larger community. How's business going in the rolls and donuts and cake business? So the man said, it's so difficult. People come into the store, and they pick up a donut, and they pick up a bagel, and they pick up a piece of bread, and they say, this bread's not as white as it could be. The donut, it's a little misshapen, not so into it, I'm not going to buy it here today. And they look and they poke and they prod and they pick it up again and they touch it and they open on gloves and they say, I don't know. And they're very picky and nothing's going on. Okay, and the Chafetz Chaim said, I wish you hatzlacha, things should go well, I hope things pick up. And that was that. It happened a number of years later after World War I had started and things were not as simple as they should be and things were very, very difficult in the Chafetz Chaim's community. And he saw the baker again. And he said, Nu, how's business? What's going on? Are you able to manage through this very difficult time? So the baker's eyes lit up. And he said, business is amazing. It's incredible. This is the best I've done in years. So the Chafetz Chaim was a little confused because this is a time of war. Usually people are not so excited when things are not going well in a time of war. So the baker explained, let me tell you, when beforehand, so people were very picky. But now, when people come into my bakery, who cares if the bagel is a little lopsided, or the bread is not as white as it could be, or the donut doesn't have the perfect amount of glaze on it? Who cares? People take whatever they can get. And therefore, explains the Chafetz Chaim to the student who asked him about the Zohar, yes, it's true that in a time where we have the Beis HaMikdash and things are perfect, so you're right. It should be the case that all of our mitzvahs have to have proper Avas Hashem, and Yirah Shemayim, and everything needs to be 100%. But we are in a very low situation. We're in a time of war. Sometimes we don't realize it, but we are in a milchama, where things are not so clear. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like the patron in the bakery. He will take whatever he can get. Now, that's very inspiring if we're not doing so well. But we also have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take whatever he can get. Like, that's where we stand. He'll take whatever we can do. We want to be in a situation where we can be a little bit pickier, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can see the great things we can accomplish and not just be picky in a bakery during a time of war. Rav Yaakov Emden writes in his Siddur, I'll quote for you, he says, "V'kan makom sheroi laharchiv bo hadibur, al male lo haya ela avon zebi adenu." If we only had one aveira in our hands, shein anu mis'ablam al Yushalayim karoi, that we do not mourn the destruction of Yerushalayim and our situation in Galus, Dai laharich guloseinu. That would be enough to extend Galus. That we are not upset enough that we are in Galus. V'ubeinai hasiba hakrova hayosegui atzuma v'chazak l'chol hashmados. This is what's causing all the terrible things. U'muflagos hagdolos hanoros. All that. And he goes on to discuss a number of tsaros and difficulties. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, if we understood where we were, and we at least felt bad about the situation we were in, some of the time, once a day, once a week, once a month, once a year, so then maybe that would be enough to move something along. But he says, all we have alone could be the Avera that we're not upset enough that we are in Galus. The Vilna Gaon would say that I can understand, he said, I can relate to a situation, I can understand the people, the Gedolim of the Rishonim, I can understand the Godless of the Gaonim, I can understand the great achievements even of the Amorayim. I can have an understanding, a level of the greatness of these individuals. Said the Vilna Gaon, I have no understanding of the level of a simple Jew in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. I cannot fathom the type of a person who lived at the time of the Beis HaMikdash was going well, and Klal Yisrael were doing well. I can't understand the level and the abilities and the capabilities of a Jew at that time. That Jew, to live in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when there were Karbanos and Klal Yisrael had the good graces of a Kadosh Baruch Hu all the time, I cannot fathom what such a human being is like. Says the girl, I can understand what Rabbi Yohanasi is like, I can understand the Rambam, but I can't understand a simple Jew in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. The Chafetz Chaim would say that we make a grave mistake. Where do we have our longer Shmona Esrei? Where do we really pull out our Shmona Esrei during the week? Refa'enu, right? We have all of our Cholim, and we really, really put our time in by Refa'enu. And where do we daven so much for Parnassa? We really close our eyes, we slow down when it comes to Baruch Aleinu, because we want to have Parnassa. That's what most people do. Says the Chafetz Chaim, we have it all wrong. We should be slowing down when it comes to Yerushalayim Mircha. We should be slowing down when it comes to Es Tzemach. Because if we would work on those things, and we would have Mashiach, the Parnassa would be taken care of, the Rafu would be taken care of. Really, he says, our kochos need to go in to those brachos about Yerushalayim and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the coming of Mashiach. The Gemara in Bracha says, Amar Rav Elazar Mayom Shechara Beis HaMikdash Nenalu Shari Tfila. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the gates of Tfila are closed. V'nifzaka Choma Shobayozel Ben Yisrael Lavim Shabbat Shemayim. And there's an iron gate, an iron wall between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Off the bat, we see that our Tfilas are not where they're supposed to be. We're missing the Koach HaTfila nowadays because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Sota, Andach HaMches, says, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Meyom Shechara Beis HaMikdash, Nitel Tam HaPeros. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Af Nitel Shuman HaPeros. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, fruit doesn't taste as good as it's supposed to taste. It's not as fattening. It doesn't have the protein. It doesn't have the geschmack that fills you up when you need a piece of fruit. You can go and have the most delicious watermelon, pineapple, apple, whatever it may be. I'm sorry, it's fast day. Whatever it may be, and still you eat it, and it tastes great, right? We all know this, or you cut open a melon. This is a good melon, right? And I can write, honey, this is a good melon. We got a good one from the store, right? These are good apples. And we think we know what a good melon tastes like. We have no idea what a good melon tastes like. We are so far away from a good pineapple. We have no clue what we're dealing with because everything was lost. Rav Friedlander writes in the Sifsei Chaim on the Moedim L'Chele Gimel, and he quotes in the Maharal, and he explains, who cares what the fruit tasted like? Really? This is what we're missing? That the watermelons don't taste as good, and the pomegranates aren't as full, and the grapes aren't like this? Really? This is what we're missing? So the Maharal explains, what we're missing is that simply by having a piece of fruit, it would have sustained you physically for more than enough amounts of time. If you had an apple and it had the shuman, it had the fat that the Gemara and Sota is talking about, that would have been enough. You would not have had to sit down to an 8-course meal. You would not have had to go out to some restaurant in Shalayim and have 8 different courses of meat. It would have been sufficient to have a piece of fruit, and that would have filled you up. It would have been sufficient in your gashmis. But says the Maharal, what happens nowadays? What happens nowadays is that we need more and more physical things to contain our empty holes in our neshama. We need more homes. We need more cars. We need bigger screens. We need more clothing. We need more things. Bigger screens. We need more things to fill up the emptiness inside of us because our physicality, says the Maharal, is not sufficient. It doesn't do it, and therefore we need more and more gashmias, more and more physical things. We're even excluding a shmooze about gashmius because it takes you out of olam haba, and people become obsessed with physical things in this world. I'm not even talking about people being extravagant and doing crazy things. I'm talking about basic needs, that we need to fill ourselves with more physicality on a day-to-day level, because a little bit of gashmius is not enough, because once the base of HaMikdash was destroyed, the peros have lost their fattening ability. And they've lost the shum, they've lost the geshmak and the taste. And this is what we miss out. This is what we're lacking. We don't even realize when we go to the store and talk about how great the fruit is, we don't realize how far away we are from a great piece of fruit and really having a proper perspective. The Gemara in Tanya Sfach Gimel says, "Bishimei Shimon ben Shetach, in the days of Shimon ben Shetach, when the Beis HaMikdash was built, Hayayore lehem geshamim b'leili revios v'leili shavasos. It was sufficient to take care of the crops with the rain on Wednesday night and on Friday night. And that rain took care of everything. The crops grew perfectly. You did not need GMOs and altered seeds and have to have entire multi-billion dollar industries to make sure that we had the proper produce to feed the world. It was sufficient. A little bit of rain, a little bit on the week at night, a little bit on Shabbos at night, and that held everything up. The amount of poverty and lack of food in countries across the world is because there is a Churban HaBayis, because there's simply a mismanagement of the food, that we don't understand what it takes for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to simply, with a rain on Wednesday and a rain on Shabbos, to give us enough to take care of our crops for the entire year. The Gemara in Ksuva says, it talks about at length about the praise of the fruit of Eretz Yisrael when there was a Beis HaMikdash, and how you need a little bit to carry over for a month and for days and for years and the entire season that would carry people over. There's an amazing Medrash Rabbah in Breishis on Samachay that tells the story of Yosef Meshisa, a story that many people know because Rechaim Shmulevitz made it famous in his Sichos. Yosef Meshisa lived in the time of the Churban HaBayis, and what happened was is that when they came in to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, so the Romans were afraid to go in. The Mefarshim and the Midrashim say the Romans were afraid to go into the Beis HaMikdash because they didn't know what it was going to be, what's going to happen. Was the Jewish guy going to strike us down? So they grabbed a Jew. And they grabbed this Jew. His name is Yosef Meshisa. And they said, "Yosef, come with us." And he was a little wide-eyed and didn't know what was going on. And they took him to the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, standing from the gleaming Heichal. And he's standing there looking up, and he says, "What's going on here? What am I doing here?" And Yosef Meshisa was not such a great guy. He was a petty thief, a real no-goodman. He never helped anybody out, never really accomplished anything much of quality in his life. And the Romans said, "Yosef, let's make a deal. You go into the Beis HaMikdash, make sure the coast is clear, make sure everything is good, make sure there's no booby traps, nothing's going to get in our way, and Yosef Meshisa, you can take out whatever you want from the Beis HaMikdash. The first thing you touch is yours, and you can take that out. It's yours to keep forever. You want to have a nice new table? Shulchan is yours, right? Whatever you want, take out whatever you need." So Yosef Meshisa says, "This is a great deal. I have got the Romans. I get free stuff, and everyone's a winner." He goes in very excited. He comes out a few minutes later, and he's holding the menorah. "I got the menorah in his hands." He's very excited. "I have a nice new candelabra. My wife will be very pleased. I'll have something to add to the decor. Everything will be taken care of. Everything is good." So the Romans look at Yosef Meshisa and they say, "Yosef, please, you, a little poor Jew, what are you going to do with a candelabra like this, a menorah in your house? It's not shaykh for you, pas nisht, that you should have such a menorah in your house. So let's make a deal. You go in again. You can pick one more thing, whatever you want. We get to keep the menorah, and everything will be fine, and you'll go home, and everything will be good for you." So Yosef looks at the Romans and says, "I'm not going back in there. You must be crazy." And the Romans say, "What are you talking about? You can take whatever you want, you go into the Beis HaMikdash, and it's yours." And he said, no, I'm not going back in there." And the Romans were not pleased with the insolence of this Jew. The Medrash goes on to say that they tortured him until he died, terribly. And the Ad Kan, the Medrash, asks the Panavish Arav, "What happened? What is the big deal? 3 minutes ago, he had no problem going into the Beis HaMikdash and stealing from the Beis HaMikdash. All of a sudden, he comes out, and now he's such a big tzaddik. He's going to give up his life. He's going to give up his life to not go back into the Beis HaMikdash again and to do the work of the Romans. What happened?" says the Panavish Arav. "It makes no sense," says the Panavish Arav. "What happened is that he entered into a Makom Kadosh. He didn't just enter into a Makom Kadosh. He entered in to the Makom Kadosh. The impact of being in a Beis HaMikdash is that it can turn a person around like that. Keheref Ayin. It makes a person into a different human being. And this is what we're missing, says the Panovich Harav. We don't understand what it means to walk into a building and to come out another human being, a different entity, where your DNA has changed, that you have such kavod shemayim. 2 minutes ago, you're a lowly street rat who will do anything to take home a piece of gold, and 2 minutes later, you are now such a tzaddik who's willing to give up his life to not desecrate the Beis HaMikdash one more time. That's the impact of having a Beis HaMikdash. That's what we're missing, to know that there's such a place that you can walk inside and come out a different human being. Incredible. The Yaros Dvash of Yonason Abishitz writes in his Chelek Aleph and Drushit Aleph, let me tell you what he says about the floors of the Beis HaMikdash. Yosef ben Gurion bekinah shalo al Beis HaMikdash. Yosef ben Gurion, when he wrote about the Beis HaMikdash, he said, Ki hadorchim al ritzvas Beis HaMikdash hayu masigim chachma v'haysa ritzva mechachmas. Simply by putting your feet on the floors of the Beis HaMikdash, it gave you wisdom. V'ki amakum haya admas kodesh, it was holy land. V'hadorchim alei hasigu chachma nidvekes v'am ruach ha-kodesh. And by putting your feet on the Beis HaMikdash, you attained ruach ha-kodesh. V'lekach hutzuchu leilech bli sandal. And that's why the Kohanim walks in the Beis HaMikdash without shoes. So yeah, davar chod seitz veinam levein ha'adama. Asher dorcham alel, there should be no separation between them and the floors. Kadei sheyasigu shifas kodesh me'adama. So they would absorb the holiness of the ground. Sha'al na'alecha me'al raglecha ki amakam asher ata omed alav admas kodesh hu. We have a place in the world where simply by walking into it and putting your feet on the ground, it makes you a better person and gives you Ruach HaKodesh and wisdom. And he goes on to explain about now we have to wear shoes, Bizman Hazeh. Something to think about next time you're buying a pair of shoes, whether in the store or online. Think about what you're doing. You're buying a pair of shoes, even though you could have the opportunity to be in the Beis HaMikdash and put your feet on the floor. Something that we're missing nowadays as well. We're missing out on the Eifer of the Parah Aduma. We don't have the ashes that can purify us in the most incredible way. The Yalkut Shemoni tells us on the Pasuk of Yefed Nof Misos Kol Ha'aretz that Yerushalayim gives simcha and rejoicing to everyone. Listen to what the Yalkut Shemoni says. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Shehaisa Misameches Kol Ha'aretz. It gives simcha to the entire land. Adam Over Avera V'Doeg. A person does an Avera and he's upset. Amar of Nachman, Allah Yushalayim, the Hikrif Korban, Nisach Lo, Vyotzim Misham Sameach. A person goes to Yushalayim, brings a Korban, a promise from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Misos Kol Ha'aretz, will become happy. There are so many people who are depressed and sad and can't find Simchas Achayim, says the Yalkut Shemoni, says David HaMelech in Tehillim, just go to the Beis HaMikdash, and all of your worries disappear. No more angst, no more anxiety, no more anxiety over moving, no more anxiety over dealing with in-laws, no more anxiety over dealing with all types of issues of children, doctors, medical bills, all the anxiety away simply by visiting the Beis HaMikdash. The Brisker Rav once saw a child in a neighboring family of his running around, and he had such joy and such happiness when he was moving across the street and playing and jumping and playing with ball, and it was such simcha watching this boy be so happy. So the Brisker Rav looked at the parents and said, "Why is your kid so happy?" So the parents said, "Oh, I don't know, maybe he doesn't have to pay any bills. Maybe he doesn't have to go to work. You know, he doesn't know any loss in his life. He's a kid. You know, nothing's getting in the way." So the Brisker Rav stopped him and says, No, you're wrong. That's not why he's happy. Let me tell you why your son's so happy. Because inherently, within our neshamos, we are happy people. Our neshamos want and desire and feel to be happy all the time. That's naturally how we're supposed to be. But because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, and because there are such difficulties around us, tsaros come and pile up. But naturally, our neshamas are meant to be misameach and besimcha. And therefore, that's why a child is happy. Because he has not developed yet into a situation to understand that there's no Beis HaMikdash and there's no all this loss. But naturally, that's the way we are supposed to be. The Gemara goes on at length about the milas of korbanos and the importance of korbanos and what a korban can do for a person. But that again, what we discuss is now the tip of the iceberg. Hopefully, going forward into the rest of the day and the rest of the year, to have a greater understanding of what we are missing, to understand that we are b'milchama, that things are not the way they're supposed to be, and to have a little more understanding and sensitivity that the way things are supposed to be, and what we're supposed to long for, and what we are missing, to have a greater appreciation for Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, and the Beis HaMikdash.